Station WZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Trump imposing 25% tariffs on imports from Canada and Mexico and doubling tariffs to 20% on Chinese imports as well.
Canada responding with a 25% tariff of its own on American goods. Economists warn those tariffs are paid for by American businesses, and those costs are then passed on to American consumers by raising prices. The Yale Budget Lab estimates that the tariffs could cost the average household up to $2,000 annually.
ABC's Nicole D'Antonio in Washington. Target topping fourth quarter expectations. However, it's warning this morning those tariffs will have an impact on its business. Tonight, President Trump will deliver an address to a joint session of Congress, his first this term. That speech could include discussions of Ukraine. Overnight, the White House announced it was pausing all military aid. Pope Francis now off mechanical ventilation as he continues his fight against pneumonia. This is ABC News. Target topping fourth quarter expectations as it reports earnings, but warns that those tariffs will have an impact on its business. Walmart warned of the same thing when reporting its earnings last month. California is ordering all state workers to return to the office most days of the week.
On the heels of President Trump's order for federal workers to return to the office, now Governor Gavin Newsom is ordering California state workers to do the same. By July 1st, he wants state workers in the office at least 4 days a week, but with telework options for those who can prove they need to be accommodated. Newsom saying when we work together, collaboration and accountability improve.
ABC's Alex Stone in Los Angeles. An Australian man credited with saving 2.5 million babies with his blood plasma has died. James Harrison was a retired state railway clerk. He had a rare antibody in his blood that helped protect unborn babies when their mothers have a different blood type. He was 88 and had donated for more than six decades. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Join Lou Rugani for the Music of the Stars every Sunday morning from 7 a.m. until noon. Lou brings back the nostalgia from the golden age of radio with the music, drama, and comedy shows that made radio magic. Music of the Stars is sponsored by Lakeland Care, providing personalized support that aims to improve quality of life and maintain independence for elders and those with disabilities. It's the Music of the Stars, Sunday at 7 on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM Oshkosh Air Support.
It's Amanda with your new WISCO 411, sharing events of all varieties throughout the Valley and greater Green Bay area, especially ones that provide support and hope. Tuesdays between February 4th and March 11th from 6 till 7:30 p.m. at the Hyde Family Community Center, individuals can meet together for the Survivors of Suicide Loss Support Group. It's meant to be an open and safe place to share and connect with others. Registration is required as the groups are small. So for more information, go to wiss.fm and click events.
I'm Lisa Hale with WISS News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at wiss.fm.
Bucks basketball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks in Atlanta to take on the Hawks. Bucks guard Kyle Kuzma dealing with a sprained right ankle after accidentally stepping on the foot of Giannis Antetokounmpo during Saturday's game in Dallas. But Kuzma pleased they've won six of their last seven games.
We're moving in the right direction, and we've had some hiccups. That's to be expected, but you know, I had a coach in the past. He's always said that the regular season is just rehearsal for the playoffs. That's just the approach that we kind of have to have, and obviously you want to win, and every game is going to have a different challenge.
Baseball, the Brewers losing to the Reds 5-4 in Cactus League action. Left-hander Aaron Ashby had to leave the game with apparently a strained oblique muscle. The Brewers have signed veteran lefty Jose Quintana to a one-year deal. NFL, the Packers agreeing to a two-year deal with linebacker Isaiah McDuffie, worth around $9 million with incentives. McDuffie, a sixth-round pick for Green Bay 5 years ago. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Some fun moments during Sunday's Oscar broadcast included Queen Latifah looking like she wore a parachute to the event during her nice tribute to Quincy Jones. There was also Adrian Brody, who won his second Best Actor Oscar for his performance in the nearly four-hour-long film The Brutalist, and his acceptance speech was almost as long. There was Timothy Chalamet, who some thought was the odds-on favorite for Best Actor, dressed in a bright yellow pantsuit. Luckily, it's Hollywood, and the people around him were already wearing sunglasses. It's always exciting when history is made at such a big event. Honora writer-director Sean Baker won 4 Oscars for the film, becoming the first person ever to win 4 Academy Awards for the same film. The critically acclaimed director took home trophies for Best Original Screenplay, Best Director, and Best Picture. He is also the film's producer, and he won an Oscar for Best Editing. Honora was the talk of the night, as lead actress Mikey Madison won Best Actress, giving Honora 5 Oscars out of 6 nominations. Not a bad Sunday. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Cloudy with showers today in the mid-40s. Tonight, rain likely, an inch or more possible with a low of 35. Rain will change to snow tomorrow, with snow likely tomorrow afternoon into tomorrow evening. There could be a few inches of accumulation, with strong northerly wind gusts creating blowing snow at times on Wednesday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 38.
Earl Ingram.
Coming up on the Earl Ingram Show, Dr. Anthony Eastry to address the attacks on social services. Later, I have a very special guest who will join us.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings at 9.
A new choice. The Fox Valley's real news and great conversation. WISS.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Hour number 2 of Mino the Mayor. Here, 97.9 FM, WGBW, 98.3, and 96.5 FM, WISS, the Civic Media app worldwide. And, of course, on the AM dial, 1590 AM and 1100 AM in Appleton, Oshkosh, and points beyond. 37 degrees in Green Bay, 39 in Appleton, 38 Oshkosh forecast, cloudy with showers. High today, though, of 44. I'll take that.
Oh, I know.
Joining us right now, Billy Joe Bonick, and she's with the First Reach Foundation, and just talking to you during the break here, fascinating, fascinating stuff here. I'm just going to introduce you and take it from there, Billy Joe, and tell everybody just kind of what you do and what your mission is.
Sure. Thanks for having me on today.
Honor to have you on. That's what you do. You. I'm serious.
I started First Reach Foundation. It's a nonprofit organization financially supporting mental health needs for first responders. I'm not a counselor. I don't have a background in any kind of therapy world. And my staff and I shouldn't say my staff because we're a nonprofit agency and everybody's volunteer, but my board members aren't either. Everybody on my board comes from a different background. Some have a first responder background. Some have finance background. Some have mortgage world background.
That's great to have that variety.
I do like the variety, but they're all supporting the same cause, and they all have a passion for the same cause, no matter where they came from, because even if they didn't come from the first responder world, they're still in support of them. So we don't have all those mental health backgrounds, because we're not there to be your counselor. We're there to financially support you to get the help that you need. Mental health in the first responder world has kind of been something you don't talk about. And I grew up the same way. I mean, you fall down, you rub some dirt on it, you get back in there. That's how we were raised on the farm, and that's the way the world saw mental health for a long time, but now they're starting to have resources out there, and we want to financially make those possible for people.
Beautiful.
It's no secret that mental health is the big issue right now.
Right.
I mean, that's in every department, police, fire. And why do you have to raise money for that? Don't we have programs, insurance, EPA that can help with that?
You would think so. They have EAP, like most of the agencies have an EAP system, but those EAP counselors, they're not first responders. They weren't ever first responders, most of them, so they don't have that background. So to get some kind of specialized treatment from somebody who understands the work that you do and they understand the career field you're in, you have to go to a private source. For any of our first responders that want to get some kind of mental health inpatient treatment in the area that they work, they're going to be working with some of the people they might have arrested or they might have helped put there and get them the treatment themselves. So they want to go to a place that is specialized for first responders, and those places cost a lot of money. And even if your insurance kicks in for part of it, it's not all of it. And that's not even the pay for what the treatment you're going for. You're taking that time off of work. So if you're taking the time off of work and now you're on short-term disability, what does short-term disability pay for? About 60% of your wages, maybe?
I got to throw out a quick question, and then you can follow up, Jim. When you say the blanket term first responder, what are the actual jobs that these people have?
So we're including police, fire, dispatch, corrections, EMS, those paramedics out there too. So we want to include all of them, not just police and fire. We want to make sure we're hitting our correctional officers that are often forgotten about because they deal with a lot that people just are unaware of. The dispatchers that are taking those calls, that at least they are the first responders that officers don't stumble across somebody calling for help, but, you know, they're dispatched to a call.
Well, I think you're making a huge step even before the awareness that talk about it. And we've had people on here from, I told you during the break, deal with more adolescents, but of course the military is a very concerned about the suicide. And I work at a place where but group discussions, just being honest about it. And those are great things as well.
It is. Yeah. Just being able to freely talk about your mental health is something that was kind of taboo before.
Now, I hate to talk about this subject, but we do a lot with the military and suicide prevention and HUA and some other organizations. They're devoting everything to preventing suicide of our veterans.
Yeah.
And I hate to say it, but first responders in some cases, the percentages are kind of high too, aren't they?
They are. And it's extremely unfortunate that, we want to be able to help those get back into that workforce. I mean, there's some that they're just never going to get back into it. And maybe what I hear when I go to conferences is, where was your organization, 10 years ago when I really could have used it and I struggled to get back to where I am today. And I hate hearing those stories and I hate getting those phone calls that say, I know, you're still building your organization and maybe we're not at a place to ask for financial assistance right now or whatever the case may be, but they know, hey, I think you and your board might be a great resource for me. I need immediate help. And my heart breaks. I probably turn ghost white when I get these calls, but they say, I have a responder who needs help. Can you help point me in the right direction? And if we're just a resource to help get them there, then great.
So there's 911 centers throughout the United States.
Correct.
And do they all have these issues, or is there something that we're doing wrong from a technical standpoint or staffing standpoint that could...
You mean with what's going on with them now?
Right. You formed an organization because of the mental health issues.
Right.
And I'm assuming they come from stress. And
right.
But my question is this. There's 911 centers all throughout the United States.
Yep.
Right? Ubiquitous everywhere. Do they have these same issues? Is it something that
a local problem?
We don't have enough equipment. We don't have enough staff. You know what I mean? And so the pressure is kind of more self-inflicted.
I mean, some of it's the calls, some of it's the staffing, some of it's your work environment, some of it's a disconnect between the staff and between administrators. But it's not just a local Brown County thing. So First Reach was created not just to serve Brown County, but to serve a nationwide reach at some point in time. I started First Reach because I lost my parents and my youngest brother in a house fire many years ago. And
oh my God,
my mom was a dispatcher and I watched people go through, like, it was her coworkers that were pulling her body out of a house. Like, it was her coworkers that were responding to that situation. And I watched what they went through. And I, for 14 years as a 911 operator, I watched what my own responders went through, what my own staff goes through on a daily basis. And it's just, I knew there had to be something more out there that could help them. They were starting to build resources, starting to build those treatment centers for first responders. There's more and more of that getting out there, but nobody was helping them pay for it. And when you have to take that time off to get yourself better, to get back to doing the job that you love that causes all your mental anguish in the first place, it's just a vicious cycle. But somebody's got to financially help you get there because that adds more stress, which adds more mental health anguish. It is a vicious cycle, but hopefully we can play a little bit of part in making it better.
I'm going to reset this here with Billy Joe. Am I pronouncing it wrong? Is it Bonnet or Bonick?
Bonick.
Ick.
Ick.
It's like I wrote phonetically, but yes. The K. Okay. This is an awesome thing. I just have to ask one question. You went through all that trauma yourself when you were young, but yet you still wanted to get into that business?
I was in the business when it happened. I was 24,
okay.
I think. It was... And then I took custody of my youngest sister at the time. There's an 8-year age difference between the oldest and I'm the oldest and she's the youngest and there's 6 of us kids. But so I took custody of her. So I became mom overnight kind of thing. We went through the trauma and I had a lot of coworkers throughout my career that every time I would pick up a call for a house fire or anytime I would send officers or firefighters to that kind of situation, they're immediately concerned about me. And I've learned to disconnect myself and just deal with the call at hand. But having gone through what I went through and my coworkers and my mom's coworkers going through that as well, I saw a need to try and help them. as much as I possibly could.
So your goal with this, this is a little bit like military, but not everything, because those guys are kind of out. And you want to get people out and back.
Right.
I just want to say we got a nice text here. This is such an amazing segment. Thank goodness this is being, you know, done, being brought out to the surface.
Awesome.
Nancy, thank you, Nancy.
Thank you so much, Nancy.
And the funds that you raise goes mostly to the counseling part of things?
So we just did a grant for first responders that are dealing with medical bills. So we were able to give out a couple $500 grants to current first responders that are in current treatment. And they sent us a copy of their bill, and we were able to help them financially pay for that. Because great, if we can save them a little bit of money, awesome.
And less stress.
Correct.
Right? I mean, just think how it piles on. You're not working. Right. You're paying this.
Okay. You know, I hate to say this, but just in dealing with my World War II vets and all the different vets, how people deal with things. This could sound like a terrible thing because they're the most wonderful guys in the world. Their therapy was drinking and smoking.
Yep. Right.
And that's all.
And same with first responders for a lot of years. And we're trying to change that culture. And it's the resources are out there now.
And your industry, I mean, these guys are not working. I mean, there's no volume that you can take. I'm sure you guys have very, very strict policies on testing people when they come in.
So. And there's no money in working for the government, right? People don't get into government work because they want to make millions.
You ever seen those shoeboxes of cash under his bed? Have you ever seen that? Milton accidentally pulled one out at his Christmas party.
I think we'd have a bigger problem.
He was stuffing $100 bills in his socks so people didn't see.
Right.
There's money in government.
Right. No, there's not.
Todd, thanks, Todd. When we pulled up at the homeless shelter the other night, Jim was disappointed. Why? Because there's lying girls. I hate pulling up in front of them in my BMW.
Stop telling that story.
All right.
But I do hate that. There wasn't any parking spot. I was sort of parking in the back. There's nothing open. But what I'm getting at is the piling on problems after problems. If you can even take one of them away.
Oh, for sure. If we can take away that financial aspect and that helps them get the treatment that they want to get back into doing the job that they're passionate about, we want to keep good people doing the good work.
Well, maybe that keeps them from going for help.
Correct.
Thinking, oh, man, you know, we got bills, we got whatever.
Hey, tell me about recruiting. You had
Just want to say one more thing. Another text. Great job talking about this. Thank you, Billy Joel, Mark.
Oh, thanks, Mark.
So you're making an impact right here, right now.
I appreciate that.
You did a hiring, didn't you, a few years ago? I remember reading something about it. Or you're looking for people.
We just posted on our Facebook page, on First Reason Foundation's Facebook page, we're looking to fill a couple of our board members. So we started with a great board and I asked for a 2-year commitment.
Right.
And busy people are the ones who normally sign up for the busy things. And I had a great board that helped me get this off the ground. I held a meeting and I threw this crazy idea at a bunch of people. And I said, here's what I want to do. And I expected them to all look at me with deer in the headlights and go, yeah, you're nuts. This isn't going to be possible. This is going to be more work than what it's worth. And I was fortunate enough to get my board members to jump on that and say, yeah, there is a need out there. And I think we can make that happen. And I want to be a part of growing that. So I ask a lot of my board members to give a lot of their time. And we're looking to fill 2 spots is what we have right now.
We're going to be sending it to a break. We'll pick it up from there. Okay. But one thing I just want to throw out right now, you talked about some of the EMTs can't unsee things.
Yeah.
Okay. And I totally believe that. Believe me, my God, I could never do that in a billion years. All the respect in the world for that. But I got a feeling there are things you can't unhear.
Correct.
In your phone calls.
Correct.
We're going to pick that up. Billy Joe, this is awesome. Bonnick, great foundation. First Reach Foundation for EMT folks. Back after this.
No colors anymore. I want them to turn black.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support WISS, the Valley's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Olson Legal Group is a local veteran-owned company with offices in Oshkosh and Berlin. It's always the right time to make an estate plan, and Olson Legal Group covers all your bases, from wills, trust, and non-probate transfers to powers of attorney for financial and health care. Olson Legal Group will ensure your wishes are honored and your loved ones are cared for. Plan today for peace of mind tomorrow. Call Olson Legal Group today at 920-230-7020 or olsonlegalgroup.com.
Ready.
While the teams get ready to choose their top draft pick, you can help Mino and the Mayor choose their top craft pick.
Northeast Wisconsin is home to amazing breweries, wineries, cideries, and distilleries, and we need your help picking the best.
We've drafted 10 of our favorites, but which local craft beverage creator will go to number one? That's up to you. Top craft pick creators include Sturgeon Spirits in Oshkosh, Timekeeper Distillery in Green Bay and Wausau, and Ledge Rock Distillery LLC in Eden. Vote for your favorite now by logging on WISS.FM and click on Mino and the Mayor's Top Craft Pick. When you vote, you'll enter a random drawing to win $250 in gift cards from participating craft creators. Don't wait. Voting ends Friday, April 18th. Log on WISS.FM and click on Mino and the Mayor's Top Craft Pick and vote right now. Mino and the Mayor's Top Craft Pick, drafting Northeast Wisconsin's finest one sip at a time.
Do you know or work with kids who have special health care needs? Help them live their best lives. Contact Wisconsin Wayfinder Children's Resource Network. Our specialists will connect you with services in your area. Wisconsin Wayfinder is free and confidential. Call 877-947-2929 or visit dhs.wi.gov/WISCWAY. Connect today. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
From Oshkosh to Nina, this is 98.3 WISS.
Hey, welcome back. Mino the Mayor, we've got Ben Chan coming up at 7:34 from Jeopardy fame. Of course, Steve Jones, leadership coach and author from Kimberly. And we've got a tremendous guest right now, though. Billy Joe Bonick, First Reach Foundation, helping just people that, you know what? People that got stones. Yeah. If I could just say, you know what I mean?
Yes.
People that have guts to go out and do the kinds of things they do in our community.
Right.
So you're helping some very courageous, dedicated people when
you
talk about EMS.
They're dedicated because they have a passion for serving their community. They have a passion for helping others, and they want to keep doing that even at the risk it puts on them and their family.
Amazing.
And to raise money is difficult.
Always.
However, we're in a pretty good community for raising money.
We are.
And I think people sometimes, because of you or because of the organization, will write you a check. But other people would like, and you want people to meet each other as well. So what kind of things do you do? Johnny and I do a lot of these things, and we'd like to support you.
So I started First Reach Foundation with whatever money I had in my pocket. So some foundations are started because somebody passed away and they started a foundation in their honor. This was started with whatever little money and as a government worker that I had in my pocket.
Like your checking account. Correct. Your checking account floated this. Your personal checking account.
Yes.
Now you talk about dedication.
Yeah.
What says more than your personal checking account?
Just, you know, work some overtime. It's fine. It's right.
Wow.
So we do all of our funding is right now on fundraising base. The Brown County Benevolent Association does a golf outing every year, and they sponsored us a couple of years ago, and that gave us a leg up, and that got us started on top of what I could pull out of my pocket, which, believe me, this helped.
You got to have that one.
Totally, you got to have that base.
Yep. I do speaking engagements wherever somebody wants me to go to, and I never charge for my speaking services, and I've been keynote speakers. I've been guest presenters at different conferences and whatnot, and so when I do these things, I don't ask for a fee. I ask them to support my foundation, so they make a donation to my foundation. Mm-hmm. I was co-author in a book, and so any books that I sold go
Tell
to my
us about
foundation.
The book.
So Graceful Growth is a collaboration of 7 different women who all have a different story of a loss or a tragedy or something that they went through, a trauma, and then somehow found a way to survive and found a way to grow from it, not just survive, but to make something of themselves.
Local?
The woman who coordinated it was out of Denver, but there's 7 different women, some of them from Appleton, Princeton, and some of them from Denver, California.
Okay.
Graceful Growth was the name of the book, and it was all about your growth. And so my chapter is about my story and my family's loss. So that helped fund my foundation a little bit. But Sip and Safari is an event that I started at the new zoo. It'll be year number 4, I believe. And so when we started it, it was, you know, my friend works out at the New Zoological Society that supports the new zoo and said, hey, I need help with fundraising ideas. What do you got for me? And I said, you know, a wine event would be awesome out there to walk around, sample different wines. So we started this and made a go of it. And then I was ready to kind of hand it off. Like, I was working on my foundation. I was ready to hand it off to the new zoo and somebody else to keep running it. And they said, well, will you stay on board and will you keep this event going if we share the proceeds with your foundation? I said, that's a no-brainer. Let's make it happen. So June 10th is the Sip and Safari event out at the new zoo. You get cups to walk around and sample different things. Different food companies will be out there so you can, you know, kind of coat your stomach as you're trying your wines. But we encourage each booth and to visit all booths and try a white and a red. So try things that you wouldn't normally try. If you're a big Moscato drinker because you only like the sweet wines, try something outside your wheelhouse. You open yourselves up to things that you're like, oh, I didn't think I would like this before. And
we're going to get you back something close new. To that, okay?
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. I'll be here.
Yeah. Do you have the price on that tickets available? Are you waiting on that?
They go on sale April 15th. Okay. They're $40 in advance, $50 at the door. You can purchase a tumbler when you get there if you want to get one of those insulated wine tumblers. I think they're an extra $10 or three for $25. Don't quote me on that. My memory is really good, but really short.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I get it. Can I just ask you one thing?
Yeah.
Please just put the brakes on it. But the tragedy that happened in your family.
Yep.
Okay. How did that shape you to be into this? I'm still kind of fascinated that you experienced something like that. Your mom was in this business. You're in this business.
Yep.
And instead of saying, okay, I'm out. I'm walking away from this. I'm going to get a job at wherever, whatever. Yeah. I'm not going to think. You went just the opposite and jumped right in even more so.
Right.
What motivated you to do that?
I'm going to throw you even a better curveball. Okay. My youngest sister that I took custody of when my parents passed away, she's a dispatcher now for Waukesha County.
Wow. That's cool.
I know, right?
I mean, that's pretty cool.
But that's the way I was raised. Is like, when this happened to me, I thought, this is stuff that you see on TV. This is stuff that you hear about on the news. These are tragedies that happen to other people. They don't happen to you. But then it happened to me. And I was like, okay, but you can't change things that have happened. You can't fix what's already lost. You can't bring things back. All you can do is find a way to move forward from it. And this is my way of honoring them, because if I do nothing else, I can try to make them proud by living out their legacy and sharing their story.
Proud isn't the right word. I mean, it's way, way beyond proud.
I want to end on a high note here. It's with 3 minutes. The industry. Tell me about, would you encourage someone to get into the industry? What training do you need to get into that industry? Is that something you would have your son or daughter do, or your niece, nephew?
I had her sister do it.
Right. Yeah. My sister does it. So I teach a dispatch course out at NWTC. Oh. So I still encourage people, even though I'm not in the career anymore myself, I still encourage people to join it, because it's a job that I walked away from it. I got a different opportunity, and I missed it every single day. I miss doing the job. I miss taking the 911 calls, because some people are like, oh my God, how can you listen to those things? You find a passion for it, and that just keeps fueling itself. And so even though the world we live in is super scary and they say, oh, it's too scary to become a cop, don't do it, we still need good people out there.
We had a young man sitting right where you are 2 days ago.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and so impressed. Talking about he's going to become a police, and NWTC going to be a police officer.
So that's the education, high school, and then your classes.
Yeah,
okay.
And you don't have to take the class. It just gives you a leg up if you're applying. And most for dispatchers, they will train you. You need a high school education, they will train you. And honestly, sometimes it's better if they train you, because then you learn how to actually do the job from the people that do it and not from a book.
That's awesome.
That's great.
I actually would be interested in doing that. You know what I think my problem is, though? Somebody be I'm like, hey,
sleeping?
Where are you from? I'm from the which part? Eskimo.
Right. He'd start talking to him. Yeah. Who's your quarterback? Who's your quarterback?
Oh, I knew your coach.
Yeah. You know what? I got okay.
My house is burning.
I met your coach one time. Okay.
The guy's got a gun.
You would get completely sidetracked and scroll off into so many personal conversations.
This is great you're doing this. Thanks for doing this.
Phenomenal.
It takes these kind of organizations, and they grow, and the community will be very good to you.
I appreciate
you. So impressed with your desire to help people.
Thanks.
I mean, it's amazing. Bonnie. Billy Joel Bonick, outstanding First Reach Foundation, folks. We're going to stay on this, okay?
Thank you.
We're going to have you back. We're going to promote the heck out of your wine tasting thing.
Love it.
We're all over this. Thank you so much. When we come back, Dr. Ben Chan will be joining us back after this.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, home for the Maggie Dawn Show.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
At 12:01 this morning, the tariffs went into effect against Canada, Mexico, with an escalated tariff rate against China. Now, Wisconsin agriculture waits. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Tuesday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. If you're in the livestock industry, this could definitely impact you. Buck Wehrbein is the president of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, and he says right now he's ready to wait it out.
Tariffs are interesting because President Trump in his first term believed in them. And what did he say? Beautiful word, you know, tariffs. I think our position needs to be that he ran on that. He said he was going to use them and for different reasons. And we need to let it play out and give it a chance to see how it works for him. Tariffs are an economic issue, correct? And I'm not sure any of us totally understand economics. And if you do A, will B happen? And so we're concerned. I run a feedlot. I get paid to worry, and I'm good at it. And so I worry about this too, but I'm willing to give it a chance. It worked okay during the first Trump administration, so we'll give it some time.
His name is Buck Wehrbein. He is the president of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association in Wisconsin recently for the Wisconsin Cattlemen's Winter Convention. As you might expect, in overnight electronic trade, our agriculture markets are lower. Numbers are next.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
As the number one farm insurer in Wisconsin, Rural Mutual Insurance is rewarding their farm policyholders for their loyalty and commitment to Wisconsin agriculture through their Farm Dividend Program. The Farm Dividend pays up to 5% back on your farm premium. Visit ruralmutual.com to learn how you could qualify.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
In my County Farm Bureau, I'm more than a member. I'm an advocate for local farms and families. Serving on the board has given me a chance to create real change in our community. From organizing volunteer opportunities to promoting agriculture at local events, we connect our neighbors to the farms that feed them. Together, we're building a stronger and well-informed community. Join us and make a difference today.
A voice for farmers, a vision for agriculture, Wisconsin Farm Bureau.
On Monday, the barrel cheese was a quarter cent higher at 178 and a quarter. 40-pound block cheese dropped a nickel and a half to 172, and double A butter was unchanged. This morning, December new crop corn down a half at 451. November new crop beans down 6 cents at 1013. July wheat's down a penny and a half right now at 560. April class 3 milk that goes into cheese currently 24 cents lower at 1785 a hundredweight. So just a quick snapshot on where the numbers stand rolling into a Tuesday trade session. More available at MidwestFarmReport.com. I am Farm Director Pam Yonke.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at CivicMedia.us.
Cloudy with showers today in the mid-40s. Tonight, rain likely, an inch or more possible with a low of 35. Rain will change to snow tomorrow with snow likely tomorrow afternoon into tomorrow evening. There could be a few inches of accumulation with strong northerly wind gusts creating blowing snow at times on Wednesday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 38.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
At Lakeland Care, we are passionate about creating a world we all want to live in. Lakeland Care supports frail elders and adults with disabilities through Wisconsin's Family Care Program. As a Lakeland Care member, you'll benefit from a dedicated care team that assists you in managing your health and daily activities. Our personalized support aims to improve your quality of life and help you maintain your independence. To find out if you qualify, contact your county's Aging and Disability Resource Center. To learn more about Lakeland Care, visit LakelandCareInc.com. Lakeland Care. Together, we build better lives.
Maggie Dawn.
At 2:30, I'm joined by Megan Rowe of Opportunity Wisconsin to talk about the devastating cuts to Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid that Republicans are supporting. Join us.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Who joins me in the studio? That's right, folks. He's going to fight Green Bay traffic. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with...
For WGBW and WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale.
The southbound ramp to Wisconsin Avenue and Highway 96 on Interstate 41 in the Fox Cities is now closed and will be through fall. This is part of the expansion of I-41 from 4 lanes to 6 lanes between Appleton and De Pere. More ramp and lane closures are expected this construction season. A Wisconsin Republican congressman has introduced legislation that would repeal a federal program that provides funding to states to build their electric vehicle infrastructure. Wisconsin was awarded over $78 million through the Biden administration to develop fast charging stations across the state. So far, $23 million has been allocated for 53 of those stations. The bill from Congressman Tony Weed could cost Wisconsin about $55 million allocated for the EV chargers. An audit from the Wisconsin Elections Commission found that in the November election, there were 0 votes miscounted, altered, or missed by the tabulating machines. The audit also found no evidence that any voting machine or software had been tampered with in any way. In a memo with the audit results, Megan Wolf, Wisconsin's top elections official, said the audit shows how efficiently elections are run and should dispel any information about electronic voting security. President Donald Trump's tariffs have officially taken effect. And these tariffs and trade disputes can affect us in many ways here in Wisconsin. Brittany Merlot tells us more.
First off, several steel shipments arrive at the port of Milwaukee, which are destined for Wisconsin businesses. The new steel tariff will increase costs on these businesses by 25%. We are also a significant exporter of soybeans. Retaliatory tariffs on the U.S. exports could negatively affect our soybean farmers. And the state still exports over $10 billion in manufactured goods. These producers are doubly hit as they will face the steel tariffs as well as the retaliatory export tariffs. The Libertarian Party of Wisconsin believes that free trade is fair trade and that trade wars only hurt consumers.
I'm Lisa Hale for WGBW and WISS News. For news anytime, visit civicmedia.us.
Ready. While the teams get ready to choose their top draft pick, you can help Mino and the Mayor choose their top craft pick.
Northeast Wisconsin is home to amazing breweries, wineries, cideries, and distilleries, and we need your help picking the best.
We've drafted 10 of our favorites, but which local craft beverage creator will go to number one? That's up to you. Mino and the Mayor's top craft pick, drafting Northeast Wisconsin's finest one sip at a time. Now, back to Mino and the Mayor. Here's John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
And I just want to mention, don't forget to get online today and vote for the top craft pick at WGBW.FM or WISS.FM. Click on top craft pick, and when you get in there, you can vote for your favorite in the 10 that we've already chosen for Northeast Wisconsin.
You know what my first question was to our next guest here?
What was that?
Who's well-known for many, many, many things, and, and lesser known that he knows all the different craft beers.
Yeah.
I was explaining to him when I was eating it, what kind of craft beer should I get? That's my first question to Dr. Ben Chan.
We have this contest.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning, good morning. Dr. Yeah, Chan.
Where's, I say, where are the Punchkeys? I was
Punchkeys. I think we're getting somebody, aren't we, Todd?
I don't think any's coming in. Terry actually said that he just picked his up, and that's, one of our listeners.
I've got somebody that was going to try to bring us some, just so you know that. I was going to surprise you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, hopefully they're here soon, so Dr. Chan can have some.
I don't know if you listened earlier, Dr. Chan, but it's also obesity day, so we thought that was appropriate.
Yeah, isn't that bizarre? True story, Fat Tuesday and obesity day. Hey, special thanks to our great guest we just had on, Billy Joe Bonick. Wow. First Reach Foundation. Did you hear that story, Dr. Chan?
I caught the tail end of that.
Lost her family in a fire. But then she went into, she was a dispatcher, stayed with it. Her younger sister, who was rescued, also went into dispatching. Wow. And their whole thing now is raising funds to help people who deal with issues in that business.
But mental issues.
Dr. Ben Chan on Jeopardy again on Wednesday night. I have one question for you. What is the fur underneath the neck of a moose called?
Yeah, that's a good one. It's what is dewlap?
Who knew that? Who knew that? So I almost fell out of my chair. Next time I talk to him, I got to ask, how did you know that?
Exactly. That's my question.
Yeah, so usually we're talking about this on stage. They do this after we start filming. People like, there's a fun story. I was up in the UP and I was looking at some taxidermy. And no, I was looking at old Jeopardy games and that showed up. And I was like,
kidding.
That's something I should know for some reason because it's so interesting, right? You wouldn't think that had a name.
No.
So that just jumped out as you had something that kind of like, there's actually a funny clue that showed up last night that we can talk about. When you have been on the show and watched the show a lot and are deep in the Jeopardy world, you kind of start to get a sense and be able to mind read the writer's room and get a sense of what they would find interesting. And so I think that sounded interesting when I saw that in the archive, because like, all right, who would think that that, you know,
had a name
on us?
Yeah.
On
wow.
Us, you know,
wow. I mean,
on our little double chin has a name.
To read the room of the writer is yes. Kind of strategic.
Because that's, I remember the one time when you had, was it jazz music from the 40s or something? And you ran the entire table. So it's like, okay, I can see somebody real big into that, you know, and but I wouldn't think you would know what the fur is underneath the moose's chin.
Right. So that wasn't a Dulap thing. That was, he studied that when he was a kid in high school.
Yeah,
right?
That one was more, that was actual personal collection.
Right, right.
But, know, connection.
I, that's an interesting question that you just thought it was a piece of trivia that you put in the back of your mind.
And it worked.
Yeah, it worked. Yeah,
that's incredible.
I mean, I think that's probably, that it was, you know, it's luck too, but there's a similar one yesterday. It just turned out funny because we were talking at lunch before yesterday's game. When we were filming a few weeks ago, and I was wondering, you know, there's that, I apologize if you don't look it up, if you don't know what it is, the Hawk to a Girl. And
oh, yeah,
so, So I was
you
like,
you know what that is? No, we're not going to talk about it, but go ahead, Dr.
She became famous for
huge
on
celebrity
TikTok,
now,
right? So huge, right? Made millions of dollars. And I asked one of the other contestants, do I need to know her name? And somebody knew her name, Haley Welsh, and I was like, they probably won't ask about her because she's kind of crude. Somebody else mentioned, oh, but she also came out with that cryptocurrency, the meme coin, the Hawk coin. And I was like, oh, that's how Jeopardy might ask about her. They'll ask you, they'll give you her real name. They won't mention the
You're
clue.
You're right. She did come out with all those other things. Then,
and that's in the very next game, they asked that clue, right? So because they didn't.
Wow.
They wouldn't.
So you're in their heads.
Well, it's interesting because that was fortuitous.
You've cracked the code.
Yeah. Do you, you watch Jeopardy irregular?
So I actually don't. I was looking back at the test. I came back to watch. I have to thank Aaron Rodgers again because you can actually see online when you've taken the test. And I saw that the time that I took the test to get on the show was like 3 days after Aaron Rodgers guest hosted.
Oh.
So I think I had not watched in many years. And then Rodgers was, you know, hosting. So I was like, oh, I want to tune in. I want to see how he does it. So, yeah, now I watch occasionally. I check, you know, I look every day to see what the boards look like that day. But I watch maybe once or twice a month.
Did you put your name in to be a sub there? Because you're
You'd
good
be
on
awesome
TV.
At
you,
that.
And I think people like you.
Oh, I'd have to retire from the contestant part of the game. So,
well, oh, you're not retired yet?
Doesn't sound like it.
I mean, maybe I was retired involuntarily, but I haven't.
Did they give you that swag?
Oh, no.
Wow.
They're pretty light and swag. I forgot. Yeah, this is pretty great. If you saw the back.
It's a cool Jeopardy shirt.
You can only get it. You can't get it online. You have to, if you're an audience member there, you can go, they have a nice audience store where you can get stuff. Yeah.
This is still fascinating to me, though, that you're on there, and it's just bizarre that you can sit here and we can have this nice conversation, but you've got so much else floating around in your head. It's mind-boggling. I mean, it's just mind-boggling.
Oh, I have a question for you.
Go ahead.
No.
All right, so every starting quarterback in the NFL since 1985, something like that?
It was since 1957.
1957. Oh, I could have reached. Okay, so I saw this name earlier today. Browning Nagel.
What in the world? Browning Nagel.
Awesome.
Are you talking about the Browning Nagel from Louisville that was drafted ahead of Brett Favre? That one? And then they got beat. No, they beat Alabama in the Fiesta Bowl.
Wow. Doc, is he right?
Wow, that's amazing.
He's right.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
Get any more?
Everybody knows that.
Total flop in the NFL.
Yeah,
total flop.
Started like two.
Actually,
two games maybe for the Jets.
Actually, I think Ron Wolf was with the Jets when they made that selection, and they overrode Ron Wolf's decision, and they took Browning Nagel, who turned out to be a total flop.
Wow.
Yeah. Louisville. Who's the most famous quarterback from Louisville? In fact, I mentioned this name to you last night because I'm going to win $1,000 tonight at the Heights.
I know his number.
Lamar Jackson.
Johnny Unitas.
Oh.
But Lamar Jackson, too.
Far be it.
That's probably a little more famous.
Sorry.
Far be it for us.
Thanks a lot. Ben, thanks for being here. Ben Chan, I was going to say our contestant.
we play a game and they pull the numbers tonight. It's a board.
Oh,
and
at the Heights.
And you can win.
So I took all some of my favorite players, like Johnny Unitas, 19. Edgar Bennett, 34. Those kind of things.
Yeah. Anyway, fun. So what are your plans? I mean, you're...
That's interesting. I mean, I think I'm... I was thinking about this a little bit. You know, as a... The end of Jeopardy for the foreseeable future is a nice kind of a two-year side quest, random side quest where you get, you know, plucked out of your living room, thrown on stage, and then, you know, you play for 2 years, basically. I think there's a next step coming for me. I don't know what it is exactly. It seems like...
You know what it is? You're going to work with us on a game show. I told you I want to do a game show. We're going to do a game show.
What kind of game? What's the idea? What's the concept?
No, that's not a concept. We're just copying it. Price is Right. Oh. And it's going to be a fundraiser for the homeless shelter. You've been there. You've been one of our celebrity servers. Over at the Tarleton. And there's a guy that's got all the equipment. So it's kind of a
turnkey. We just did
turnkey.
One in Two Rivers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But
and Plinko.
We got
Plinko,
it all.
Which is
phenomenal.
It is. They've really done it right.
The Yodeler game. I need
you remember the Yodeler game?
Yeah.
We have to build that.
We want you involved.
We have to build. But no, you were saying, I'm interested in your answer on what's next, because you feel like there's something down the road. You do. Is it going to be in Wisconsin? You're an East Coast guy, right?
Yeah, no, we love it here in Green Bay. We love our house. We love the community. So
you got Tupperware.
We've got Tupperware. We've got a stove.
Exactly.
We've got plans to stay here long term. But I think Jeopardy, it seems like a nice kind of postscript to your kind of childhood dreams.
Right? Absolutely.
Right. So it's like
not just childhood dreams.
Yeah. So I think, you know, when I've described my career to people, I've said, I'm still on plan A. You know, from the time I was 18 years old or 19 years old, I thought, I'd like to continue to go to school, maybe be a professor. And I'm still on that plan, right? Most people are on like plan E by my age. And so I think, you know,
we're on plan Y.
Exactly. Right. So there's some transitions. It's been, I think, a transitional time for us professionally a little bit. So still don't have definite ideas about the big plans next, but some changes are coming, I think.
Now, this whole Jeopardy thing, you became a national figure. I mean, really, did other schools contact you and like, hey, I'm almost like a high school recruit. Like they see a recruit in the AAU game and it's like, hey, I saw this kid. Are other schools, you know, wanting you for not just what you do professionally, but your notoriety that you'd bring to their place?
I mean, like these, I just want to say that it's like a Paul Ryan. These politicians that get out and they go teach at a university find gold, everybody. But is that?
I wish there were like envelopes of cash that were being slipped under the table, but not so much. I mean, invites to give talks and lectures, which is nice. You know, the academic job market is one of the weirder job markets, right? So there's not very much, you know, most places don't have flexibility actually to offer
make
things,
that
right?
move.
Make moves like that. Right. So it's an interesting, very slow moving in general kind of market.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I won't get into that. I think there could be a paradigm shift in that. I'm just curious but that's a different
thing. I think there is. It's kind of interesting. I mean, I think when we think about it, I just, you know, local listeners, when I'm like, oh, I'm at St. Norbert College, there are a lot of changes happening in St. Norbert College. And I think one of the things structurally that's happening in that sector is a move towards more what we call contingent faculty, more ability, more flexibility to hire, change hires depending on demand. And so I think that's, you know, makes sense given economic reality, but also obviously is a challenge to some of the central values of higher education as a stable institution.
Right.
Go ahead.
Good. I was just going to ask, I want to get back to the Jeopardy. Do you do the Jeopardy in town here?
Trivia games?
Yeah.
Where's all your swag? I got a closet full.
Yeah.
Excuse
me, Doc. I would just think he'd like card counting. Yeah, it's like you can't come in anymore.
Yeah, I agree.
No, I think the good thing, I don't have a trivia team. So when I go, I usually just play by myself or play with one other person. You know, I might join a team. So I usually go to Zambaldi where the watch parties were in Holloway. And I think the perfect kind of bar trivia, and Zambaldi hosts are pretty good about this, is a good team will beat any individual. You know, it could be Ken Jennings.
Right.
And a good team will beat Ken Jennings because the host will construct things so that it takes a diverse team to do well.
By the way, you tower over him.
Oh, Ken.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, the Fox Valley's home of Mino and the Mayor. The WISS High School Sports Calendar is brought to you by Zeroni's Macaroni and Pizza Pub.
Here are some events for Oshkosh West teams. March 14th is Girls Varsity Basketball State versus WIAA at Green Bay Resch Center. March 15th is Girls Varsity Basketball Sprawl versus WIAA at Green Bay Resch Center. And also that day is Boys Varsity Basketball Sectionals versus WIAA at Oshkosh North High School. March 18th is both the Girls and Boys Varsity Track Invitational against multiple schools, 4 p.m. at UWO. For more events and details, visit OWHSWildcats.com.
The WISS High School Sports Calendar brought to you by Zeroni's Macaroni and Pizza Pub. Open to all those looking to break free from the tyranny of cheap pizza and powdered Mac. Locally sourced from the community for the highest quality ingredients. Zeroni's.com. Get back to Zeroni's. You know, the Macaroni and Pizza Pub on Jackson Street in Oshkosh? They're back open under new ownership with all the familiar recipes you know and love. Enjoy the Zeroni's to-go lunch buffet. Fill up the box and they'll fill your drink, all for just $11.50. Buffet to go. Zeroni's Macaroni and Pizza Pub menu includes specialty mac and cheese, pizza, salads, appetizers, and desserts. The to-go buffet is open Tuesday through Friday, 11 to 2. Zeroni's is back. 2407 Jackson Street. Zeroni's.com.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this civic media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of civic media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
Welcome to the Fox Valley's Real News and Great Conversation, WISS.
What? Why? You ask him.
Who's our guest? Song? Who's our guest?
Dr. Ben Chan.
Oh, all right.
And the song is called Ben.
Michael Jackson, 1972.
1972.
Yeah.
You remember
when
it?
I was negative 7 years old.
Wow. Oh, wow. You never heard the song Ben by Michael Jackson?
I'm
disappointing.
You never heard the song?
I'm trying to listen, but people are talking over it.
Okay. What would you have done to this?
Sounds like a teacher.
Our next category.
This is probably my weakest category is pop music, actually. I played Name That Tune with some of your friends at a fundraiser for the shelter.
Yeah. Thank you for doing that. You won too, right?
We
got the check. That was a hell of a second prize if you didn't win.
Dr. Ben Chan from St. Norbert College and, of course, the local Jeopardy champion. So are they going to have more alumni-type things coming up? Did they say anything to you along those lines?
It's kind of interesting. I imagine
those are really popular, aren't they?
Yeah, I think I'll be, I'm now on the back burner a little bit. I'm part of the kind of maybe the larger pool of maybe 100 people who could be invited back for some random alumni thing. Whereas after the last Tournament of Champions, I knew I was coming back for this year. But there's huge news a few weeks ago that Jeopardy is taking offers for streaming services.
Oh.
And so they'll be moving. That's the way of things now. They haven't been on a streaming service basically ever. And so they're going to go to next day streaming, I think, next year. And I think the way of things looks like other franchises, you see like Bachelor in Paradise, you see, Bachelor All-Stars. Imagine there's going to be an expansion of, the Jeopardy universe. There's already actually tomorrow night, Pop Culture Jeopardy's finals come out on Amazon Prime. A lot of people who are like meh about the normal show because it's too academic. Really like this pop culture Jeopardy.
So. That'd be fun. I'd like to.
I would like
that. Todd, Todd would be unbelievable.
Yeah, it's on Amazon. That's on Amazon Prime. A lot of people like that. Yeah.
Do you got Amazon Prime, Todd?
I do.
Oh, watch that.
Check it out.
Yeah, I don't have that.
The audience for Jeopardy is high, right? It's got to be the highest rated game show, right? Maybe Wheel of Fortune and then Jeopardy?
Yeah, Wheel just got a little boost, I think, from Ryan Seacrest this year. So Wheel surpassed Jeopardy for the long time, for the first time in many years, but they're pretty neck and neck. Yeah.
Okay, that broke my heart that they actually increased after Ryan Seacrest started.
I knew you'd be bold.
That hurts.
Well, Ryan's it's.
Pretty, I thought the same thing. I didn't want to say it.
Yeah, I'll say it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's made a career out of being completely inoffensive, which is a kind of a skill.
So
yeah,
have I. Yeah, right. So we got something in common, me and Ryan Seacrest.
Any story you want to share with us on with the number of people who've seen you? It's millions, you know. Anybody creep on you or anything that's happened that's... Okay, we'll stop.
No, I mean, it was interesting. I was saying one of the nice things about this last tournament, the Invitational Tournament, was that I got to meet all new champions or old champions. And apparently if you're a woman on the show, there are, you know, many women champions who were part of the tournament. Undoubtedly somebody will ask you for pictures of your feet once you appear on television. I guess if you're a woman on television.
Of your feet?
Yeah.
Like people, a foot fetish?
Yeah. Like,
oh,
can I get pictures?
I guarantee
it. Nobody's asking for pictures.
If I actually showed them a picture of my feet to anybody, yeah, it would take one. They would be like, you know what? Let's pick something else to like get turned on by, because he's got the grossest feet
but
ever.
But apparently, any woman who's been on TV, they'll be like, oh yeah, they'll not.
Really?
Like, yes. Somebody will slide into the phone. They'll find your email and they'll email you and ask you for pictures of your feet.
Got a text here. Good morning from Mainz, Germany. Mike. Hello, Mike from Germany.
Right.
Mike Pritzel, maybe?
Is he in Germany now?
I don't know. Maybe.
He spent the last couple of weeks climbing Mount Kilimanjaro.
Oh.
Yeah. So I think that is Mike. Probably flying back that way. Yeah.
Oh, that would make sense. Yeah.
What were your favorite? I know you've been asked some of these questions many times, but I'm still always, what were you, when you were a kid, were you into game shows? Because to be honest with you, ironically, the three of us really were, and we're not on a game show, and just curious, were you?
Yes. Actually, Price is Right, probably, like many people, their favorite Sick Day.
Okay, can I ask you a question? I don't know if your wife is listening or if this would matter, but who's your favorite model on Price is Right?
Janice
Pennington.
Janice Pennington.
Holly was cute. She had shorter hair. Holly. She was
a little red hair.
You know what?
Right?
Those two were almost exactly game show version of Ginger and Marianne from Gilligan's Island.
A little true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Holly. Yeah. Holly seemed nice.
Yeah. She seemed like the girl next door that you would, you know,
take home.
She was a cheerleader. And then, all that thing. And then Janice was the one.
So you'd go on a date on Saturday night.
Yeah.
Saturday afternoon.
Wouldn't you agree?
Those were just names that were popping into my head.
Okay. He wants no part of this conversation. Could see it on the internet. Dr. Chan had a thing for Janice Pennington.
Do people reach out to you for advice? Like, I got called to go on. Can you help me?
I think it's interesting. There is a community of people online where there are different servers where prospective contestants, former contestants get together to play, you know, old Jeopardy games.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's cool. So Could you coach somebody? Yeah.
One of them's called, like, you know, we call it Jeopardy Fight Club or whatever. So there's definitely strategies. They're, you know, coaching in terms of how you best study. Yeah, there are probably things that you could tell a prospective contestant that would help them a lot. Yeah.
I think that would be fun on your part. I mean, I'd love to sit here and just quiz you on that. You know, it's like, what should I study? Is it worth studying atlases? Is it kind of like you either know it or you don't? Although you've kind of figured out a pattern a little bit of the types of questions.
Yeah, I mean, I think you see a pattern. I mean, there's one of the contestants tonight, Dr. Zahir Javeria. She won the second chance. She won the wild card. She's going to be about, she went from kind of zero to being, you know,
but
as good or better than me.
You
in
can't,
a year, yeah.
But not, you can't coach anybody up. I mean, you can't get a 23. Would you be on your SAT, ACT? 22?
What'd you have on your ACT?
Probably 36.
I didn't take ACT.
Oh, that's right.
East Coast.
You're just saying that because you know you didn't beat my 23. Dr. Chan in the house. Can you stick around?
Sure.
Awesome. Back after this. Can't get no. You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, the Fox Valley's home of Mino and the Mayor.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we all want clean drinking water. What about road salt? What happens with that? We'll kick that around tomorrow. Don't miss it.
Mattenair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Stream
Streaming TV is where it's at. It's not about cutting the cord anymore. It's all about your customized TV options. With the best and cheapest high-speed internet and your own TV subscriptions, we've got your dream TV lineup. Between wired and satellite internet and TV, save money and get more internet speed and better TV today by calling the Whole Home Connect.
800-217-9129. 800-217-9129. 800-217-9129.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is WISS Berlin Oshkosh and WZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. China has responded to new U.S. tariffs by announcing it will impose 15% tariffs on key U.S. farm products, including chicken, pork, soy, and beef. The move following a 20% tariff slapped on Chinese goods by President Trump, who also imposed a 25% tariff on Mexico and Canada. ABC's Elizabeth Schulze has reaction.
If these tariffs stay in place, economists expect you could start to see price hikes by Memorial Day. For groceries, it could be within weeks or even days. About 63% of U.S. vegetable imports come from Mexico. Think bell peppers, cucumbers, strawberries, tomatoes, limes, avocados, a lot of that fresh produce. And grocers, they can't really stockpile those foods in advance.
The White House announcing it's pausing all military aid to Ukraine. Those issues and others expected to be talked about tonight during the president's first address this term to a joint session of Congress. Pope Francis off a mechanical ventilator today. This is ABC News.
I'm Lisa.